I'm John Aran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom? Like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
WOGL HD3, Philadelphia, from the Cherry Hill Volvo Studios, where relationships matter. Always live on the free Odyssey app. The revolution will be broadcast. This is the next generation of talk. Now, this is the drive at 5. 30 minutes of nonstop talk with Rich Zeoli.
Joe Biden completely rewrites Title IX. It's a disgrace. Donald Trump says the gag order has to come off, and the Biden administration seizes more land in Alaska. It's going to cost you more money at the pump. I will explain. Welcome back to the show. Glad you're here today. 855-839-1210 on Twitter at Rich Zeoli. This is our happy hour. Brought to you by the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey, my happy place. Come join us May 3rd for our live broadcast. I want to see you there Friday, May 3rd. It's going to be a lot of fun. We'll get a lot of laughs and memories, and it'll be very enjoyable. And the Grand Hotel is a beautiful, beautiful place to stay this summer. So make your reservations at grandhotelcapemay.com. All right, I have a number of things for you that I wanted to mention. And you know, the question of what happens with this trial on Monday, and I want to play for you. This is a CNN analyst here named Mark Preston. And he talked to Jim Acosta. And, you know, Alvin Bragg is trying to put Donald Trump in prison right now, in jail, for violating this gag order. That's what he's trying to do at the moment. And but, you know, let's hold off on that because we have our friend Dr. Wilfred Riley joining us. Excellent. Perfect timing, too, because he's got a piece I want to talk to him about. I'm very excited to have a chat with him about. So let me welcome to the show, professor of political science at Kentucky State University, author of Lies My Liberal Teacher Told Me, which will be released on June 11th, but available for pre-order now. The one and only Dr. Wilfred Riley. What's up, my man? How are you?
I'm doing well. Good to be back on the show.
Always great to have you. Happy Friday. I have a couple things to chat with you about, but I want to begin with a piece you wrote at National Review today, as a matter of fact, Why the Rise in Trans Shooters.
Yeah, so that was something that I found out almost incidentally reviewing the data. So if you look at Mother Jones, of all places, has a great list of all the real mass shooters. And there's been an attempt on really both the left and kind of the alt-right to argue that mass shootings are constant so as to make this claim that in poor white neighborhoods, black neighborhoods, the country, guns are a constant danger. You see this with, quote-unquote, every town, USA, and all this. And the definition they use to do that for a mass shooting is shots fired at more than three people, or at most more than three people hit, not killed by a gunman. And especially if you don't specify the gunman's a stranger or something, that includes a lot of domestic cases where men unfortunately murder their wives. It includes almost all gang violence, so on down the line. But getting to the point, the real definition of mass shooting is simple. It's more than three people killed by a strange gunman. And if you look at those kind of shootings, there have only been 158 all time. You're talking about mostly mass casualty incidents like Columbine and so on, horrific shootings. And in the past, I guess, 8 years now, going back to 2016, there have been about 60, I believe is the figure we used in the piece. Of those, six or seven have involved transgender people. And this isn't like the biggest problem in the country or anything, but it's extremely unusual because trans people are 0.6% of the population even now. So they're overrepresented by, I mean, a 2,000% when it comes to the perpetrators of these mass shootings, if you take a figure of 7 out of 59 or something like that. So I look at why in this article. I mean, as I recall, I get a couple quotes from medical people. I certainly take some out of Newsweek, out of the pretty serious popular literature. And, I mean, one explanation is just that we're giving testosterone specifically to a lot of people, especially young women. And as anyone who's ever played sports knows, that's essentially the oldest steroid. I mean, that's what anabol is. It's synthetic testosterone. So we've got this large number of people that are experiencing sort of intense roid rage, where you have a female athlete, but they're taken up to the male norm in terms of testosterone. So that was point one.
Well, it's an incredibly important point. I mean, every drug has a side effect, obviously. I mean, I was on steroids a couple weeks ago for my cough, and I had a roid rage. I mean, the steroids have an effect on you, and that was just 5 days of prednisone. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, I did testosterone replacement therapy, TRT, briefly, and I don't mean to make jokes, but I felt like I was becoming stupider. Like, there are stereotypes for both men and women for a reason. I quit doing it when I almost got in a fight. I'm like 40. So, I mean, it was just you understand that taking your testosterone levels from like a male normal at my age would be like 600. Taking that up to 1200 is going to have a lot of consequences. A lot of guys like to feel like a lion, but there are going to be definite consequences of that in terms of business, in terms of your logical behavior. Now, the real issue, though, is that these people that are going up to 1200 on T are girls. So men, it's an awkward topic, but men early in our lives learn to control sexual desire, learn to control the propensity for violence. That's a lot of what religion is for guys. So if you take people from the opposite sex that have never experienced anything like this and suddenly give them this pure human hormone, it's like taking adrenaline. You're going to have really intense reactions. You're going to have almost euphoria. So that was part of it. And another part of it, I think, is just that we've been telling members of every minority group for the past 50 years that they are constantly being attacked by society, that everyone's out to get them. Blacks hear this, gays hear this. And so you're actually seeing shifts in who commits crimes. Generally, the more oppressed you feel relative to other people in your society, the more likely you are, all things equal, to be criminal. And I mean, since the 1960s, I mean, the black percentage of homicides has increased from like 22% to 60%. The majority of serial killers now are minorities. I didn't believe this when a friend argued it in an academic paper recently, but it's true if you combine black and Hispanic. And similarly, we're seeing that mass shooters, that's no longer like a working class white guy phenomenon. Only 58% of mass shooters over the recent post-2000s era have been white people. 42% have been people of color. Whites are still, I mean, counting Caucasian Hispanics, 76% of the country. So we're actually overrepresented in kind of these crazy, typically suburban crimes now. And you can't separate that from the constant message of, you know, there's a near war on in this country. If you're gay or trans or black, they're trying to genocide you, so on. So, like, last line, but the Nashville Covenant shooter said this. I mean, the shooter wrote a manifesto, and the manifesto includes lines like, I'm outraged at white privilege. I want to kill these, hate the term, but these little crackers. That was explicitly said. This is why I'm doing this. So I also think that needs to be analyzed.
I agree with you. And I think a couple things here. I mean, number one, the prevalence of these of hormones, as you write about in your piece in National Review, I mean, the ease in which you can get that is just it's remarkable to me. You just go to a Planned Parenthood clinic, and even if you're 16, as long as you have parental consent, you can get it. Mm-hmm. The rates of prescription have continued to sharply increase since 2021. Even surgeries, all these other things. And you write something else, too, which is that you say, and this is stochastic terror. Now, what does that phrase mean, stochastic terror?
Well, stochastic terror, to some extent, is a nonsense phrase. Stochastic terrorism is the idea that if you say kind of bad, naughty things, especially online, they can prompt negative reactions from people. So my girl, Chaya Raichik, lives at TikTok, is often accused of doing this. Like, she'll post a video of something that's just objectively insane. Like, one recently was a school teacher who, quote unquote, described herself as a slutty cat.
Right. I saw that. So, yes. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard to miss, you know, I mean, but like, so, and the response, and obviously that then generates messages going into the school saying everything from, you know, I've always liked slutty cats to more seriously, like, hey, I'm taking my child out of this school and you're a nutcase that should be beaten up. So the second, according to a lot of people, are a form of terrorism that's being generated by online commenters, especially from the right. But my reaction to this is, if you look at online commenters on the left, from Dr. Umar Johnson to Will Stancil, they say stuff that, you know, leaving out like rage against the machine, just like a crazy actual communist, they say things regularly that are at least as provocative. Like, there's a genocide against your people. Like, if someone said that about blacks or Irishmen and it was true, I mean, I'd probably be an armed revolt. Like, that's a horrible thing to say. So innocent kids are listening to this and are thinking, yeah, the men really are out there attempting to kill all of the women. The whites really are out there attempting to kill all the blacks. And it's, again, you can't distinguish that from things like the surges in interracial crime that we've seen lately. You know, the surge isn't as big as people think it is, but like, I can't imagine that in 1960, most interracial crime was black on white. Mm-hmm. Now, about 80% of it is. And a lot of that, if you believe in the stochastic terror model, is probably true to what we're continually telling young people.
And I think that as you go with that, I mean, if people are walking around all the time feeling like victims, and then they get a little pop of testosterone or a lot of testosterone, oh, yeah, and now they want to fight and kick the ass of the person who is who's their oppressor. I mean, it's not that complicated. It really isn't. And I also have to wonder, too, and we've talked about this, you and I, in the past, there's an underlying mental illness component here as well. Yep. And we don't even know, like Audrey Hale's a great example, the Nashville shooter. We don't know, was she on psychotropic drugs? Do they have interactions here? You know, if you got, I mean, kids are medicated nowadays, it seems, for everything. And I'm not suggesting that you know, some kids don't need to be. I'm just saying that there's clearly an over-medication going on in this country. Right. I think we all agree on that, whether it's antidepressants or it's stimulants or something. And then there's the combination of these things with the testosterone, with the idea that you're walking around all the time and you're a victim. You put all these things together, and then the underlying mental health issues that are there, it's a pressure cooker, man. It's going to blow.
Yeah, I think that's pretty much correct. I mean, so there's a lot there. Like, the over-medication of kids is very real. And yeah, I would agree with you. Like, you know, we're both serious taxpayers. So you do that caveat. Like, I'm sure there are some young kids that have genuine OCD or whatever. But the reality is, something like 30% of white Americans are currently on psych meds.
Right.
And there's no possible way that 30% of people are crazy. Like, men and women could maybe make jokes across the gender line there, but that's not realistic. That's not plausible. If you look at China or you look at France, what you've got is medicalization of a very specific, actually ill, like 2% of the population. So that's something that we probably need to stop doing. Like, we have a for-profit medical system. And what I think doctors are doing is, like, anytime they see someone who ethically can be put in one of those categories, like, I have ADD, for example, I'm diagnosable ADD because I'm smart, fairly aggressive, and male. So you get this mass classification of a bunch of people as nutty, and they're given these very powerful drugs. Like, for the parents out there, I want you to take a look at the side of your son's Adderall bottle and see what it says. There's only one ingredient, and it's not sugar. So if we're giving people pure amphetamine, yeah, that has effects. And if you combine mm-hmm. the pure amphetamine with pure testosterone, yeah, you're going to make someone who's a pretty impressive fighter and who's pretty angry. So we should, in my opinion, probably stop doing that. But all of this stuff about how to raise kids, where normal parental behavior, like spanking your kid twice on the butt, is described as abuse, but where the most crazy kind of insanity, like giving your kid meth and telling them they can change their sex, is viewed as normal, That's created an odd crucible where obviously violence is up overall in the schools, but where you see specific stuff like this, like 10% of the people involved in mass gunfire incidents, at least recently, we don't want to exaggerate this, have claimed one of these crazy sexual identities. They caught another guy, by the way, yesterday. I don't know if you saw this, but a young Asian kid.
Yeah, in my... Sorry, go ahead.
So he was like a guy. He was a runner type athlete, just like a normal kid, kind of a theater kid. But he identified as a girl. So his name was Aaron or something, and he preferred to go by Aiden. And apparently someone, thank God, tipped the police off to this guy, and they went to his house and they found, you know, a stash of guns surrounded by like weird anime and so on. It was very much an internet inspired, modern youth culture inspired crime.
Mm-hmm. That's Montgomery County, Maryland, you're talking about, right?
I believe so. This is literally like yesterday.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. And all these things together and the insanity of everything. I think I saw a piece the other day and it said, or I know it's Bill Maher. Actually, I have the audio of this. I wanted to play this for you. This is Bill Maher. Get your take on this. Whenever Bill Maher says something, I think that, you know, because obviously a lot of these things, a lot of what Bill Maher says, we probably may disagree with, or maybe we used to. I don't know. He keeps saying, you know, people say I'm not a liberal anymore, but it's just that things have changed. The goalposts have moved here. Cut number 7.
And this is why people vote for Trump. They say in politics, liberals are the gas pedal and conservatives are the brakes. And I'm generally with the gas pedal, but not if we're driving off a cliff. On the trans issue, America is no ands, ifs, or buts about it. Absolutely alone in the world now, an outlier country. Last month, England's National Health Service announced that there's not enough evidence to support the safety or clinical effectiveness of puberty blockers for third graders, and that they were going to stop fumbling around with children's privates, because that's Prince Andrew's job. Sorry, you two. They're very sensitive about the royal family, I'm telling you. I found out.
We'll make an exception.
All right. So, too, with all the other good place countries in direct opposition to America's choice to affirm children's wishes on switching gender, no matter the age or psychiatric history, the far left, which always like to use, well, Europe does it. Yeah, no, that doesn't work on this one anymore. Or on immigration. Sweden opened its borders to over 1.5 million immigrants since 2010, and now 20% of its citizens are foreign-born, and its education system is tanking, and it has Europe's highest rate of gangland killings. And one result is that the far-right parties are in the government now there for the first time. To which liberals say blaming immigrants for the rising crime rate is racist. Yeah, but is it true? Of course it's true. It's not a coincidence the quality of life went down after the Somali gangs started a drug turf war using hand grenades. Calling it racist doesn't solve the problem. It hands future elections to someone who will solve the problem and who, I promise, you're not going to like.
Lots to unpack there, Dr. Riley.
Yeah, I mean, I think that something that people from, you know, for that matter, the forbidden people off the spectrum, like Steve Saylor, but from, say, Maury Richards on the right to Bill Maher on the left do that's made them notable writers is kind of notice, like say obvious things and point them out. So in reality, like one of my things about the trans issue, like I did fairly well in the markets before I became an academic. I'm an employable person elsewhere. I feel I can just talk about this. So I've always said what I think probably 90% of people think, which is that, of course, you can't in some real sense become a man as a woman. I mean, the female body is a beautiful thing. And that's not even like a joking banter between the sexes. There are all of these different capabilities. You can create life and so on. There are downsides, the menstrual cycle. There's no way you can take that and
just kidding. Just
basketball.
Kidding.
But I mean, it's broad stereotypes, ladies, we love you. But I mean, like, in general, though, like, saying you can take that in a male with a totally different V-cut body, totally different, as we've all noticed since high school, reproductive system, so on down the line, is a meaningless statement. So the reluctance to say this was entirely due to the idea of appearing gauche. It was entirely due to the fear in Europe of hate speech charges. It had nothing to do with reality. And at some level, we all knew that. So when we're looking at these questions, like, can giving puberty blocking drugs to boys make them girls? Like, can it reduce their natural aggression? Is there a simulation of the monthly cycle that begins? Like, it was inevitable that the answer to that was going to mostly be no. And it was no. And the European countries are now pointing that out. And by the way, there are horrific long-term effects of this. Like, I think I mentioned this on your show once before, but if you take PBs, puberty blockers, into the start of normal puberty, the Tanner stages, and you then go on to opposite sex hormones, you will never develop as a member of your sex. So when you are 22, your penis will be 0.8 inches long, for example. Just you won't be able to have an orgasm. Just like crazy stuff going on. So it was always obvious that these things were bad if you just looked at them logically. And it's the same thing with migration, which Bill Maher is talking about. I mean, I don't think there are significant genetic differences between humans. So in 10 generations, if you look at the time it took American blacks or Irish men or something like that to meet most national norms, and there's still some struggles. But I mean, in 10 generations, you might have Somali Swedes. But the question is, why would you admit a bunch of immigrants that are going to be primarily a financial drain on your country for 100 plus years? I mean, it's a different language population. They're different job skills. I mean, there's a famous study of Sweden that found that 97% of immigrants don't get jobs and go on welfare. If you're talking about immigrants from Africa and the Middle East, this isn't disputed. This isn't, quote unquote, racism. So when you say that would make life worse, of course that would make life worse. It's only political correctness. It's only upper middle class politeness that makes people not say this. And I think a lot of people are saying it. And I'm actually less than sympathetic to the Bill Maher sort of take, because one of the reasons Bill Maher is saying the obvious now, 3 years late, is that he thinks that if he doesn't, the Republicans will. That's pretty much it. Like, it's sort of a Bill Clinton, New Democrats pitch. Like, why don't we, the people that are totally responsible for this problem, just reverse course on it? And this is the same thing as Joe Biden saying that he loves the police and posing with his arms around burly officers on the East Coast and so on. I think a lot of people at the voting booth are going to remember who started the problem in the first place, like who opened up the border in the first place.
Good. I hope they do. Let me, before I let you go, I got to switch gears. At Title IX, Biden today did a complete rewrite. And, you know, forgetting the fact that what he's rewriting here is so antithetical to the original intent of Title IX that Congress passed. Leaving that aside for a moment, there's a couple provisions in here, but one of them reinstates the kangaroo courts against men who are accused of sexual assault on college campuses. And I think this is one of the great reforms the Trump administration did. Mm-hmm. Betsy DeVos and the Education Department came out and said, look, you know, if you're accused as a man, you still have due process. We don't just automatically say you're guilty until proven innocent. And the left erupted at that. They hated that, and now it's back.
Yeah, so first of all, I agree with you that this was a major problem in the university. I mean, I've been an executive as well as a professor in academia. I mean, you sometimes serve on these panels. Without naming, obviously, individual students or anything, when you have a sexual assault allegation on a collegiate campus, that is almost never going to be a student was waiting in the bushes with a knife and was abusing women. That would be referred directly to the city or the state police. And most college towns, Ann Arbor and so on, are small cities, good departments. What the allegation almost invariably is that two people got drunk, and based on how the campus or the state defines sexual assault, only the man can be accused of something if there's later regret. I think that's a pretty fair statement. So you have a lot of guys, it's no more than 10 per campus per year, but nationally that's a pretty big number, that are hauled in front of these panels where you don't have the rights that you do in normal court. The standard of proof is not beyond a reasonable doubt. Whether you're allowed to confront your accuser varies. And so you can literally have a very enthusiastic, consensual sexual hookup that your female partner asks you to do. And if there's later anger and argument, something like that, you can be charged with a crime. And what the Trump administration, under a female executive, by the way, did was say, no, you can't do that. You have to have a certain set of protections. We prefer you don't do this at all, this parallel justice system, so on. Yeah, Biden brought that back. But I actually think that, as crazy as that is, the bigger problem with the Title IX revisionism is the subtle sneakery with language that you see so often on the high IQ left. So what they did with Title IX is redefine sex to include the new concept of gender identity. So when they say you can't discriminate against women in athletics or collegiate scholarship awards or something like that, they've now opened the door, at very least, as I would interpret it, to legal cases where people say, well, as a trans woman, I was denied my rights as a woman just because I'm male. And now I'm going to bring that case forward. So if Trump gets back in office, I would say that this is a good, this is something that can be done at the executive level and should be. This is a good thing to revise. But yeah, the big thing with Title IX is the question of whether sex includes things that we wouldn't have traditionally thought of as sex, like quote unquote gender, like gender critical beliefs, so on down the line. And Biden just gave his opinion.
As Riley Gaines put it, it's the end of Title IX, because to rewrite it in such a drastic way, where you're essentially now saying Title IX was passed so that women could compete in athletics. I mean, that's why it was done. To now say that dudes get to compete against women and otherwise, and you also must use the pronouns and all the language police and everything else. It is so antithetical to the original intent. I hope somebody sues. I know you're an attorney as well. I hope somebody takes the Biden administration to court over this, because you can't even argue. I mean, a lot of times, like with Chevron deference and other things, we say the executive says, well, yeah, but this was with the intent of Congress, and now we're just adding to it. You can't even make the argument that what the Biden administration did today is in any way, shape, or form what the intent of what the legislature originally passed. I hope they challenge that in court.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, so this is something that's come up pretty often with the gay and trans rights cases, actually. I mean, there's a very famous Scalia, I believe it was his dissent in Lawrence v. Texas, where he said, look, I mean, I'm obviously conservative. I'm also a big city ethnic guy. I don't necessarily care if you read between the lines what people's individual sexual choices are. But to say that Thomas Jefferson intended to constitutionally give gay men the right to have anal sex, to commit sodomy, is his language, is crazy. That's not the case.
Right.
And I think very often when you look through the wordplay that's going on between the Democrats and the mainstream Republicans in Washington, you find claims like this being made. So just in case anyone in the audience missed what we're saying, sex has now been defined to include sexual identity. So if you're a man, you can be a woman. So you can now bring these incredible, like, land of Ur sort of court cases where you can say, well, as a trans woman, I was denied all the rights that a woman receives. Therefore, I'm suing under Title IX. And I mean, obviously, if even 5% of men identify as women, what you're going to have is women's athletics that are 25 or 30% male. The entire idea of there's a more graceful, more rule-following women's game in basketball would be gone because many of the players would be dudes.
Right. Yes, if the WNBA really wants to see some big salaries, they need some guys to identify as women and start playing.
But I don't really think anyone wants to see that. I mean, the WNBA right now, obviously they're not the NBA, but when people are saying the players only make $100,000 a year plus a million in endorsements, like, I mean, I could probably live on that. You know, like it's a league that's on TV all summer. People watch it. Nobody really wants to see the 11,000th best men's player, some guy from like the University of Houston second squad in the WNBA. They want to see the best women's player. Like the fact that the 11,000th guy might be as good as Cheryl Swoops, if people want to see Cheryl Swoops if they're going to watch that sport at all. So, I mean, this to me, it's kind of funny. Like, we saw the feminists insist on breaking into men's spaces. We see men and women spar every day, you know, every barbecue you go to. But at a certain level, as a guy, I mean, if you have a wife or daughters or something, there's a very practical reason not to want 6'5" heterosexual men in their locker room. So I think that's what we're now fighting.
Well said, my friend. On that note, have a wonderful weekend. The book is Lies My Liberal Teacher Told Me. It's coming out soon, and we will be together in person, Dr. Wilfred Riley and I, so that, or me and Wilfred Riley. What's the grammatically correct way to say that?
I think it's Dr. Riley and I, actually. I think it was the original one.
I think I was right the first time. All right, good. So Dr. Riley and I will be in person together for his book rollout, and we'll get signed copies for you. But until next week, my friend, have a great weekend.
Sounds good. Until next week. Bye.
Thank you.
It's the 5 o'clock happy hour on the Rizzioli Show. Brought to you by the Oceanfront Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey. A premier full-service resort and conference center. GrandHotelCapeMay.com.
All right, we got a lot more to chat about. We still have 90 minutes to go, so who knows what will happen between now and then. But I want to tell you about my friends at Natural Lawn of America, because they are there to help you have that beautiful, lush, thick green lawn that you've always wanted. And that's what you want to do, is reach out to naturallawn.com or call them and take advantage of an incredible offer they have. They will seed your lawn for free every year as part of their full service program. Now, I've been using Natural Lawn of America for several years. I'll tell you why I like them. Number one, their organic treatments are safer for your family and pets. Safer for the kids, safer for the pets. Love that. Also, I love the fact that I get fewer weeds, greener grass. My grass looks great. And I love the fact that it's tailored to my lawn. See, this is what sets Natural Lawn of America apart, is that they don't just come in and spray cookie cutter like the other big lawn companies do. Their technicians take the time to figure out what your lawn needs. And then Natural Lawn of America comes up with a plan to deal with that. I appreciate that. Plus, they're locally owned right here in PA and New Jersey. And when you take advantage of their free seeding program, you're going to get free seeding every year. But you got to call now because it expires soon. 1-800-FREE-SEED. 1-800-FREE-SEED. Or go to naturallawn.com. You're going to get greener grass with fewer weeds guaranteed. And you'll love the results, just like I've loved them for so many years. Natural Lawn of America, 1-800-FREE-SEED.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about
this? I feel like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
I'm John Oran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
The Scioli Show, on your schedule, from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT in the free Odyssey app.
That's a good one. Forgot how long the introduction to this was, though.
Oh, it's just all intro.
Is this because of the guy who set himself on fire?
No, you guys are talking some hoops, so...
Oh. All right. You want to talk furries?
If you want to, I guess so, yeah.
talk furries, shall we? And that's the big story of the day today, brought to you by our buddy, Dr. Mike Vanaria. VanariaDental.com. Go see him today for your perfect smile. V-A-N-A-R-I-A, VanariaDental.com. With two offices to serve you, Cinnaminson in Woodbury, New Jersey. He's right across the bridge. Go see him today. Before I get to the furries, Biden says little kids give him the middle finger all the time. This is a thing, I guess, that Biden has. It happens to him all the time. Cut number eight.
I've never thought I'd see a time when I'm going through a neighborhood or a rural town in the West or Senate and see big signs that have a Trump sign in the middle that says F Biden, and having a little kid standing with his middle finger, 7 years old, 8 years old. Well, I promise it happens all the time. It's not who we are.
I believe it. I think little kids are giving you the finger all the time. I do believe that all the time. And F Joe Biden. It's Let's Go Brandon. All right. Let's be honest. You see Let's Go Brandon signs all the time. Little kids just give him the finger everywhere he goes.
That's not a ringing endorsement.
I know. Why would you even admit that? Maybe just keep that inside voice, you know?
I certainly wouldn't have shared that information. Yeah, it makes you look bad.
Little kids give me the finger all the time. Well, that's a great accomplishment, Mr. President. This really is Camelot. You've really brought the country together. More on Cannibalgate today. The Deuce, Peter Ducey, confronted Karine Jean-Pierre again on Biden's claim. Can we play the original claim of Biden talking about his uncle being eaten by cannibals?
Yeah, give me 1 second while I pull it up.
This has been my favorite part of the week, and honestly, the only part of this week that I've liked, because this week has been it feels like it's been a punishing week in many respects. People lighting themselves on fire, our pets' heads falling off. I mean, it's just been a week, but Joe Biden saying that his uncle may have been eaten by cannibals gives me hope, and I'll tell you the reason why. Somewhere in New Guinea, there's a man who's related to the man who ate Joe Biden's uncle, and I want to bring that man to the State of the Union address so Joe Biden can acknowledge him and say, that guy's uncle ate my uncle, and here we are in friendship and solidarity and cross a bridge. If two people can come together and one of the uncles ate the other one's uncle, we can accomplish anything, except little kids are still giving me the finger, so maybe I can't unite anybody. Here's Biden's original claim.
Ambrose Finnegan, they called him Uncle Bozy. He was shot down. He was an Army Air Corps before there was an Air Force. He flew single-engine planes, reconnaissance flights over New Guinea. He had volunteered because someone couldn't make it. He got shot down in an area where there were a lot of cannibals in New Guinea at the time. They never recovered his body, but the government went back.
Now, Peter Ducey, Matt, I sent you two clips of the dude. They're both Ducey, I think.
Yeah, they're both. I'm pretty sure.
All right. Are they separate or are they kind of the same? Why don't we do the long one? We'll start with the long one of Peter Ducey asking Karine Jean-Pierre about this. The White House acknowledged that no, his uncle did not get eaten by a cannibal. Take a listen.
Why is President Biden saying that his uncle Bozy was eaten by cannibals?
So, you know, I answered this question.
Stop it. I know that Michael Pelka wants us to stop saying I didn't have blank on my bingo card. I'm sorry, but I didn't have. Why is Biden saying his uncle was eaten by cannibals on my Hellscape bingo card for the start of the week? Okay, maybe I won't use it next week. But for now, I'm ending the week by saying I didn't have the following question asked of the White House press secretary / FEMBA. Why is the president saying his uncle was eaten by cannibals? I don't think anybody did.
Nobody should have either, for the record.
No, if you started the week thinking that that's what would happen this week, you're insane. Nobody should have that on their bingo card. Am I right, Matt? I mean, come on.
No, it's disturbing.
All right, start it over, please.
I believe I've seen...
Why is President Biden saying that his uncle Bozy was eaten by cannibals?
Stop, I can't get through this. I just think so... It's such a ludicrous... This is where you go, is this real or am I in a coma at Cooper still?
It's somehow it's real.
This is how the week ends with Peter Ducey saying, "Why is the president of the United States saying his uncle was eaten by cannibals?" I just love it. I love it. It makes me happy. I'm sorry. It's been a long week, and this is the highlight of all of it. Henry, did you have that on your Hellscape bingo card at the start of the week?
No, I can't say I was thinking about that.
Opelka said, "I'm forgiven." All right, thank you. That's the last time I will do that. And there's so many great memes about this. Somebody sent me today a picture of two dolls. One of them is like an action figure. One of them is the Uncle Bozy action figure. And the other one is the cannibal action figure. And you could buy them as a set, you know, and have the kids like fight. Uncle Bozy can try to fight the cannibal, and the cannibal could try to eat Uncle Bozy. It's going to be all the rage this Christmas. So, yeah, of all the questions I've heard the press corps ask over the years, it's a new one to say, why is the president of the United States saying his uncle was eaten by cannibals? Again, it's just, of all the years I've covered politics and watched White House press briefings, I want to ask Dana Perino, maybe I'll text her and ask her, Dana, did anyone ever ask, have you ever had a question about cannibals in all the years you were White House press secretary?
You don't even have to text her. I can answer for you. Yeah. The answer is no.
She's off today. I'm not going to bother on her day off. All right, let's start. Keep it going.
Why is President Biden saying that his Uncle Bozy was eaten by cannibals?
So, you know, I answered this question yesterday. I believe I've seen some clips on your network about me answering this question. I don't have much to say beyond what I said to some of your colleagues. Look, I was there. I think you traveled with us too.
Wait, she was there when his uncle was eaten by cannibals? This is a development.
She did nothing to stop it?
She didn't even help save Uncle Bozy? You were there when you didn't save Uncle Bozy from the cannibals? It's just rude. Sorry, keep going.
There at the memorial in Scranton, the president had a emotional and I think a symbolic moment. He had an opportunity as president to honor his uncle's service in uniform. He had an opportunity to be there as president to speak to the bravery of his uncle, and not just his uncle, but many U.S. service members that put their lives on the line on behalf of this country. So his uncle, who lost his life when the military aircraft he was on crashed in the Pacific after taking off near New Guinea, the president highlighted his uncle's story as he made the case for honoring our sacred commitment to equip those we send to war and take care of them and their families when they come home. And as he iterated, the last thing American veterans are, or the last thing Americans are, should be called, are suckers and losers. And that is, those types of words should not come from a commander in chief.
Okay, but that didn't happen, and you're not answering Ducey's question. And I think Ducey had a follow-up to that.
Yeah.
Take a listen.
Why is President Biden saying he was shot down? There's no evidence of that. And why is he saying that his uncle was eaten by cannibals? That is a bad way to go.
He lost his life. It's not, look, it's, I'm not, we should not make jokes about
it's
this.
Not,
no, wait, we should.
President
wait,
Biden
actually.
Said that his uncle was eaten by cannibals.
I mean, your last line, it's for a laugh. It's for a funny statement. And he takes this very seriously. His uncle, who served and protected this country, lost his life serving. And that should matter.
No, but no, Ducey's right. It's a terrible way to go. I mean, eaten by cannibals. We should be making jokes about this. I disagree. We should make more jokes, not less. More jokes. And the Uncle Bozy cookbook is coming to a restaurant near you. Have you ever had Uncle Bozy bolognese?
I've not. I've
well,
never
the, I'm
going to
tell you right
Guinea.
Now, the key is you got to put a little milk in there. This is what people don't understand. In Italy, they put bolognese is not a red sauce. In Italy, bolognese is a meat sauce. And Uncle Bozy bolognese from Guinea, Papua New Guinea, also a meat-based, pure meat, only meat. So it's just really just meat. No vegetables because they're cannibals. So...
I don't why she's getting so angry, by the way. Joe Biden was the one that made up the story. It wasn't like Peter Ducey made this story up out of nowhere. It was Biden. It's his own fault.
Can you play this quiz question again? I can't get enough of it. Yeah, please. Yeah.
Why is President Biden saying that his uncle Bozy was eaten by cannibals?
Please isolate that for me as a thing on my soundboard, please.
We can add that.
This is when the week goes. Fridays, I just lose it. And this is why you want to be in Cape May with us in 2 weeks, because especially when I'm drinking and it's Friday and I'm in Cape May, it's just, it all goes in a handbasket, if you know what I mean. Now let's move on to furries. So
we don't have to.
Another great segue.
From cannibals to furries, shall we, gentlemen? We don't have to do this.
You make it sound like we're obligated.
I think we do. I really feel like we've got to go from cannibals to furries.
Yeah, why not?
Here's a furry who claims that this is students at Nebo School District in Utah spoke to the press about why they walked out to protest the school for allowing furries to terrorize other students. Students claim that the furries bite them, bark at them, and pounce on them without repercussion. The students claim there are now litter boxes in the bathrooms. I've told you about this before. This is the society's insanity, where we started by saying boys can be girls and girls can be boys. Now we're saying boys can be girls can be cats and boys can be, and to accommodate this lunacy, that we let these kids dress up, wear claws, dress as furries, they put litter boxes in classrooms. This is not a conspiracy theory. They've been doing this stuff, and I'm sorry, but I feel as if we got to limit this to the human race. If we're going to play this game where you get to be anything you want, I still think we got to pick, you got to stay a human being. Maybe I'm old school like that. You got to stay human. But nevertheless, we do this stuff. So here are the students walking out. And then we'll get the furry, Strudel the Furry's response to this. But here are the students. We'll take the students first and then Strudel the Furry's reaction to the walkout and Strudel's side of the story. Why is President Biden telling everyone his Uncle Bozy was eaten by cannibals? All right, here's the.
I wonder if he has an aunt that was eaten by Strudel.
That would be perfect. Why is President Biden telling everybody his aunt was eaten by Strudel the Furry? Cut number 10.
So are they wearing a mask every day?
Yes. But every time they go, they're always just wearing a mask. But the principal finally stood up and banned those stuff.
But they still wear them every day.
Yeah, they don't get in trouble. The principal doesn't make them get in trouble.
Yeah. All the principal says is just be kind, be nice, be nice. And then...
What's the point of dressing up like a furry?
They think they're so cool that they want to get a lot of attention.
So people can come at them and just look at them and think that they're so cool.
Okay.
Also,
are you guys going to be in trouble for walking out of school today?
We're standing for what the furries are wrong.
This is wrong. They should not be doing this.
Do your parents know you guys are out here?
Yes!
Okay. They attack us!
They bite us and we just kick them! We get in trouble!
They attack us!
They attack us and we get in trouble!
How else do they attack you guys?
They either bite us, they scratch us, they
bark at us.
They pounce on us.
Why are they spraying you with Febreze?
Because apparently they're putting litter boxes in the girls' bathroom and the boys. I heard that was just a rumor.
No, it's true.
Is this something you've seen?
Yeah, they're putting litter boxes in the bathroom.
So we can't talk or say anything to the furries or even look at them, but they can come look at us and they can say stuff to us and touch us. And they don't get in trouble.
Interesting. That sounds like a double standard to me.
Yes.
Okay, you guys stay on the site.
Now, look, I'm proud of these kids for pushing back. I think this is insane. But the good news about this is that these kids are pushing back and they're saying this is ridiculous. And that gives me hope. That gives me hope that we've reached a point now, a tipping point. And the tipping point is that the kids now have said this is ridiculous. Enough is enough. We're not buying this. You can't be a freaking cat. You can't be a freaking dog. Like, stop. And that makes me happy that they're trying to indoctrinate these kids and these kids are pushing back. God bless them. Good for them. That should make you happy. But because what were you going to say?
I was going to say, it also looks like the furries and the cannibals have something in common there.
The biting?
Yeah, they love biting people.
They do love biting people. I think most furries are probably deep down cannibals. Well, because this show is fair and balanced, I want to make sure we get Strudel the Furry's reaction to the students walking out. As if nothing else, I pride myself on being fair and balanced at all times. So without further ado, Strudel, this is a person wearing a dog costume, speaking to ABC4 News. Take a listen.
Thank you.
This is Strudel, a member of the furry fandom. Though they've been a furry for over a decade, they have their own opinions.
It's crazy that it's escalated to this point where these kids are being so distracting to their peers that their peers want to stage a walkout. So to have, you know, the next generation kind of muddy our name and not represent it very well, it is kind of disappointing.
Strudel believes there should be some limits.
Continue doing things you like, continue dressing up, continue making art, but maybe let's keep it outside of school hours.
As for the school, Sorensen says they have one main goal.
We want every student to feel safe when they come to school, and we want students to get along. In fact, we want adults to get along.
You know what? I'm just saying, for the record, by the way, that the furry community is up in arms because the furries at the school are making the rest of the furries look bad.
Furries are a proud people, and yeah, they can't have this.
Johnny Cook is now yelling at me in all caps. He did not say he was eaten by cannibals. He was flying over areas that were indeed inhabited by cannibals, and they got a lot of Japanese soldiers. His uncle died at sea. Biden can be forgiven for not knowing that. This is childish. No, Johnny, you're being childish. This is the greatest thing that's ever happened, and we're talking about Uncle Bozy. And I'm sorry, but you're wrong, and Chris Eppolito was right when he said KJP blew it. That's all. She could have said that Uncle Bozy was a brave and tender man. He was known for being very lean without the gristle of a seasoned hero. He had a lot at stake, but died without being famous, which is rare. Oh, lighten up, Johnny, for come on, man. The world's too serious. Lighten up, man. Besides, Biden will forget all about this by 6 o'clock. Don't worry about it. He's already forgotten about this. All right, we got a big fourth and final hour coming up for you. More on the court case with Trump. I'm going to check in with our buddy Daniel Turner. What is the Biden administration doing now to seize land, and why is it going to cost you more money at the pump? You got to hear the latest executive actions by this administration. Fourth and final hour straight ahead. Don't go away.
Rich Zeoli, weekday afternoons 3 to 7. Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and on the free Odyssey app.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever. And the worst part? Hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
I'm John Oran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.